Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, I see here that you want to talk about Coco and Olaf's Frozen Adventure. I must tell you that I have not seen either of these things because I have just no time for movies or any frivolities like that.
Thanks to again to the small human that now exists in your universe.
Yeah, thanks a lot, baby.
Just ruining everything. No, I put this on the show notes because Disney. So you haven't seen Coco or Olaf's Frozen Adventure, but have you heard the drama related to?
You mean people who think that they've gone into the wrong movie because that short is, what, 21 minutes long?
Ain't so short? Yeah, that. Or people who think that Disney has ruined everything and because they shoehorned on Olaf's Frozen Adventure to the beginning of Coco. I don't know.
First time that a Disney property has preceded a Pixar film? I'm pretty sure it is.
Huh, you know what? I hadn't actually even thought about that part of it.
Usually Pixar films are preceded by shorts. Yeah, and they're not usually branded. I don't know. Did you see Cars 3?
Yes.
With the sweatshirt that is alive and in the Lost and Found?
Yeah. That's an awesome short.
So good.
Yeah, and that is not the quality of Olaf's. Okay.
Right.
So, yeah. So this is definitely not a Pixar short in front of a Pixar film, and it is way, way longer than a short typically is, to my knowledge anyway. Because like you said, it does clock in, I think, at 20 some odd minutes.
I mean, that's almost a 30-minute sitcom.
No, that is a 30-minute sitcom. Go load up your, whatever sitcom on Hulu or Netflix or whatever service you happen to use that no longer puts commercials in your TV show, and you're going to see that 30-minute sitcom is actually running on, anywhere from, I've actually seen ones that run at 18 minutes.
Yeah, which is Big Bang Theory.
Crazy to me, because that means over a third of the show is nothing but commercials. But yeah, this was clearly a made-for-TV thing, and a lot of people freaked out because it was tacked onto the front of Coco, either A, because they wanted to see Coco and they didn't want to see Olaf's Frozen Adventure, or B, some people were actually ticked off because they wanted their kids to see this Olaf's Frozen Adventure thing, but they didn't really care about this whole Coco jibber jabber, And so it was, and Nancy and I went and saw Coco, and I will first of all say that, as the lover of Frozen that I am, as everybody knows, I didn't really have a serious issue with this. The only issue that I would have with having Olaf's Frozen Adventure in front of Coco is that on some level, I think we probably missed out on a better short.
Definitely.
Not because this is inherently a really bad thing or anything. Like, it feels like a made-for-TV thing, right? Like so many other made for TV follow-ups to movies,
right,
have been. It's not up to the quality of Frozen. It's just a fun little short deal. And the only reason I say we maybe missed out on a better short is because the shorts typically, whether it's Pixar or Disney animation, that's where they kind of stretch themselves, right? And they do some stuff that probably doesn't lend itself to the long form. And
I mean, you get Jerry's Game.
Yeah.
Paper Man.
Yes.
Piper.
Yeah. What was the one with the dog and the food? Feast.
I mean, it's these. And what I love about Pixar's, and Paper Man was this way too, is there's no dialogue ever. They tell this story with no dialogue. It's silent except for music and sound effects.
And so the first half, however, not half, the first chunk of Up was actually just a Pixar short.
Right, yeah. but yeah, no, I think just by shoehorning this clearly made for TV, you know, thing, we absolutely missed out on a better short. And what upsets me about this is this is clearly to me, hopefully it's the first time and hopefully the last time that Disney has stepped in and said, we are going to go ahead and put this short in front of Coco, which I've heard is a very emotionally like affecting movie and would probably be served better by a less like hit you over the head with IP, IP, IP short. And knowing what I know about the people at Pixar, I'm sure, especially Lee Unkrich, the guy who directed Coco, I'm sure he was like deeply upset about having his movie preceded by this totally off tone short.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I think it was a weird decision. I'm not that upset about it, other than again, I'd like to see another, and who knows, maybe when it gets a Blu-ray, DVD, whatever release, we'll see whatever short. Like, was there a short that was intended to go on it before? How early on in this whole process was the decision? Because also, this is at least the showing that I saw, which I'm assuming is the showing they were doing for everybody. It was a weird thing where you had Olaf's Frozen Adventure, right? Mm-hmm. Then when that ended, you had an intro from three people at Pixar telling you, you know, how happy they were that you came to watch Coco. And explaining to you
really?
About the yes, like it's maybe a 2 or 3 minute. It just felt really weird that they were introing. You know, we're so happy you came to. You know, this has been such a you know huge thing for us to put on. This one scene actually involves all this stuff, and here's how a scene goes about being created, because the designers come up with an idea and then it gets run past these people and this is how it all comes together to be the thing that you see on the screen. And we're really excited
really?
For you to get. Yeah, it was it felt weird. But again, I somewhat wonder if that wasn't an attempt to bridge
that
Olaf's Frozen Adventure to now you're going to see something that is not at all the same speed, I guess.
It has, yeah, that has to be.
So, yeah, it was a weird thing. But anyway, all of that to say, Olaf's Frozen Adventure is getting hacked off the front of Coco. And I think that was as of the 6th or 7th or something like that. And now suddenly Olaf's Frozen Adventure, which, okay, so a lot of people are saying, you know, Disney made this decision after seeing the outrage that people had for seeing Olaf's Frozen Adventure tacked onto the front of Coco, and now it will be showing on ABC on December 14th at 8 p.m. They're going to, you know, it's part of the 25 days of Christmas. They're going to show Olaf's Frozen Adventure and then Prep and Landing after that. So if you want to watch Olaf's Frozen Adventure, 8 p.m. ABC, I'm not sure about what time zone that is. I bet you it's 8 Eastern, 7 Central. What do you want to bet?
Yeah, probably.
That's usually
the way it goes.
Anyway, check your local listings for this Thursday. But anyway, so Olaf's Frozen Adventure cut off the beginning of Coco, got thrown over here. I don't really know that this is actually a response to anything other than this was I kind of wonder if this wasn't Disney's plan the whole time. Like, let's get people into the theaters while we can to watch this thing that is, again, looking at the timing on it, clearly been designed, and I don't know, everything about it when I watched it told me that this was a TV, that this was designed for TV, right? Just the pacing and everything all felt like this has been designed for TV. I kind of think they tacked it onto the front to try to, because they were afraid Coco was going to flop on its own, because they were afraid it was going to be too hard for people to attach themselves to that and get people out there. And they thought maybe throwing something Frozen on the front of it might draw people in enough, and then they could build buzz to find out Coco was good or not good on its own. Spoiler alert, good, but good or not good on its own, And then they could pull it off and throw it onto TV in time for the holiday season, at which point they're really not as concerned with the numbers anymore because Coco is, you know, already through its however many, you know, first week's run or whatever. I don't know how long it's been in theaters at this point, but I don't know. I can see the argument that Disney is worried about this. I can also see the argument that Disney planned this all along.
Yeah, if Disney planned this all along, and if it was because they were afraid Coco was going to fail, that is a level of studio meddling that I do not appreciate, especially with a studio with a track record like Pixar's. You know, I've heard it said, and I agree with this, that Pixar is one of the most level studios there is. They don't have a whole lot of really high highs, but they also don't have a whole lot of really low lows.
Cars 2.
Cars 2, The Good Dinosaur, in my opinion, was a pretty low low.
It was, but so here's the thing. I watched The Good Dinosaur well after...
Jurassic Park, you mean?
Well...
Dinosaur.
I had my hopes lowered by what everybody told me about that movie, and then I somewhat enjoyed it. But I didn't go... I went into it with such low expectations.
Yeah.
I think if you went into it with low enough expectations, you would have been okay with it. I don't know that Cars 2... So I think Cars 2 was the lowest low. Though I will give you that Good Dinosaur... Definitely down there. So anyway, those are the lows.
Yeah, and it just, if what you said is true, the level of studio meddling in there that they were unsure Coco would have been greenlit, you know, years ago, and the fact that they would have so little trust in Pixar is mind-boggling to me. But that may not be the case. My thought is that they were just going to leave it for Coco's entire theatrical run.
But then you can't show it on TV, right?
Well, why not?
Because then people are like, then it's just something I've seen on TV.
But yeah, I disagree. I think that they could totally show it on TV and still have it in front of Coco and it would be fine. I mean, the issue is you're changing the theatrical run of a movie, and that's normally pretty frowned upon because all they're doing is removing it. They're not replacing it with anything. And so now you have a Pixar film that's the first Pixar film ever that won't have a short in front of it. Besides Toy Story. Toy Story did not have a short. But it'll be the first one that doesn't have a short. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it's because the short failed, not because they were afraid that the movie was going to fail. I imagine that it went something like Pixar was super stoked about Coco and they were really excited about it. And Disney was super stoked about Frozen, and Disney being the parent company forced them to, you know, or didn't force them. I mean, Disney does distribution, so they just threw it on there and the short failed.
Well, but Disney said, don't bother making a short for this because you're not going to get to throw one on there, basically, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, they would have said, do not make a short because we are putting our thing. Unless, again, John Lasseter is over both Disney Animation and Pixar Animation. So maybe he wanted to do it. And if John says it, then it's law, I assume, at Pixar.
Yeah, if he says it, it's suddenly going to go, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, this may have been a decision made by a man who works for both companies, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird decision, and I wanted to ask you a question. I heard somewhere that there are, like, 5 bespoke songs in this 20-minute Frozen short?
I don't know
if that's true?
I don't know if it's 5. I know there's at least, so there's, like, 2 and a reprise. I'm going to make you have to hack up the episode a little bit, because what we can do is we can use this wonderful thing called Google Play, and I can type in Olaf's Frozen Adventure, pull up the original soundtrack to this. Yeah, so there are, it looks like looking at the soundtrack, there are 4 songs: Ring in the Season, The Battle of Flemingrad, That Time of Year, and When We're Together. Now, Ring in the Season and That Time of Year both have reprises as well. The Battle of Flemingrad, I would be hard-pressed to actually call that an original song. That's another Christoph original type thing. I'm trying to think about what that would, because I feel like there was one like that in Frozen, because it's 44 seconds.
Mm.
Right? So
that's still a lot of music for a 20-minute thing.
Yes. Well, that time of year and when we're together, I would argue, because I haven't listened to the soundtrack since I've seen the short.
Yeah.
And those are the two that I remember. So I would argue those are the two that they actually intend you to remember. And yeah, I mean, that is making up, 5 minutes, which is 25% of that short.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is a lot of music. And, the soundtrack also includes some instrumental pieces for background and everything. But yeah, it's to sell more Frozen stuff, dude. Frozen is popular. Let's keep Frozen popular. And then let's also get something Christmas related and more contemporary to sell related to Frozen. And according to Nancy, who plays the what is the Frozen game on the mobile devices?
It's like Bejeweled.
Whatever that Frozen game was, we got out of the theater and Nancy looked at me and she goes, "Oh, now I know what all that other stuff in my my game was talking about. It's all been they've been cross promoting this thing, but without having watched it, she had no clue. And of course, she doesn't care. She's just playing to match the little things and do whatever it tells you to do. But so they're trying to push some more Frozen property. They're going to milk Frozen until it can't be milked anymore. And that is unsurprising. Like I said, I get what you're saying about it being the short that failed. I'm just not certain of that. And again, I will be interested to see when Coco is released, what do we actually see on the, like, do we see a short? Do we see this short? Do we see some others? I really don't know. I don't think we see another short, because surely we would have heard about it by now, right?
It's got to be for this short.
Yeah, it's almost got to be.
There will be an expectation from people that buy the Blu-ray
that they're going to get Olaf's Frozen. But is Olaf's Frozen Adventure not then going to be released as its own thing on iTunes and?
Oh, probably.
And, see, that's a that has that happened
as a TV show.
Right, but it's going to be released before Coco even. That, I don't know. This is just a weird thing.
And I mean, Pixar shorts have been released in Pixar shorts volume movie, one.
As a short collect, like it wouldn't surprise me if I could jump on iTunes right now and buy Feast. Just because the first one that popped in my head. It wouldn't surprise me if I could go buy that by itself, but to buy that by itself. While it and its movie, well, I guess not it because Olaf got pulled, but while its movie is still out in theaters, that just seems weird to me.
Yeah. But it's just because this is a very strange setup. You have a standalone.
You have two
thing.
Standalone things. One failed.
Yeah.
One is succeeding. And you know what? We've now spent 2/3 of an episode talking about.
It's just, it's. But I think it's worth it's worth talking about because it's the first time that Disney has seemingly injected a piece of its IP into Pixar's IP, which, until now, they've not really exercised any outward creative control. Obviously, there's been tons of, inward, like, no, we can't do that, whatever, like... inside baseball, creative control that we don't see, but this is the first time that Disney has exercised any kind of creative control that we as the viewer can see. I saw on Twitter somebody said that all computer animation should be moved over to Pixar and Disney Animation Studio should go back to being a hand drawn studio. And I think that would relieve a lot of this kind of competition that there seems to be growing between the two studios. And I would be okay with that. I would be okay with Disney leveraging Pixar as its CG, computer animated wing, and then using Disney Animation Studio as its hand-drawn, like, classically animated wing.
Okay,
and I think that would be a much better way for them to exercise creative control like this.
But I think the problem with that is that, see, computer and hand-drawn go hand-in-hand now. They have since the 90s, right? I mean, Beauty and the Beast took advantage of computer along. And would you call computer, would you, assuming that split, would you hand Beauty and the Beast to Pixar or would you hand it to Disney Animation?
Well, I'm less familiar with Beauty and the Beast, but can we use Paper Man as a thing? Because Paper Man was hand-drawn on a computer.
Yes.
The lines, the frames were animated on a computer. The thing was hand-drawn on a computer. That, to me, would be a Disney property. If we were going to, and Beauty and the Beast would too. Because the finished project would look more classically animated.
So Disney Animation gets to handle the classical, Pixar gets to handle the stuff that is probably going to get a release in 3D.
Yeah, there is no question that Woody was animated by a computer. I think that watching Paper Man or Beauty and the Beast or, you know, any of the Disney Renaissance era, you know, stuff that was, you know, Lion King and Jungle Book and all those movies clearly had computer help. But you're not going to confuse Toy Story with Lion King. You know what I mean? Like, they were helped by computers, but you're not going to confuse the two.
I do, but at the same time, I kind of like having some competition there, right? I kind of like I would love to see Pixar try their hands at a more traditionally animated thing, you know, kind of the as you're talking about the classically animated thing. Because I want to see them do here is the story that we want to tell. How best are we going to tell that story, right? Not how can we tell the story with the technology that we have, because we are the 3D studio, we are the computer studio, or we are the classical studio. So how can we tell this story in the classical form? How do we want to tell this story? How do we feel like this story is best told? And let's do it like that. And guess what? If the other guys at the other studio are doing some awesome stuff, then I guess we need to step up our game. And, you know, because otherwise the only competition that you get comes from the outside.
Yeah, and that's my problem is the competition is internal and both studios are run by the same person. At the top of the food chain is John Lasseter for both studios. He is head of animation for the Walt Disney Company, which includes Pixar and Disney Animation. And that's the weird thing for me is that there's like this internal competition that if you read Creativity Inc., Ed Catmull's book, it was promised that would not happen, you know, that there wouldn't be this internal competition going on. And I would much rather leave competition to like DreamWorks, you know, which was started by ex-Disney people. I just don't think those two studios should be competing. I think that they should both hone their skills with things that they're good at and leave, you know, the competition to DreamWorks and Sony Computer Animation and stuff like that. And that way, when you look at Disney and you say they have this studio that's incredible at hand-drawn, you know, classically animated, I should say, and they have this other studio that's incredible at making these computer animated movies, would that not make DreamWorks stop cranking out Shrek sequels and stop, you know, Sony from cranking out Madagascar sequels and start like maybe making them make better films?
But at the same time, I mean, you just said it yourself. Disney has this amazing studio that does the classically animated stuff. Disney has this amazing studio that does the computer animated stuff. Why suddenly? I get based on past track record, Pixar should be the studio that gets the computer crown. But what are we doing? What are we doing with the team that created Frozen? Because Frozen was an extremely impressive film that is computer anime. I mean, do those, like, are all those guys going to get shipped off to Pixar now? Because technically they fall under the Pixar side of the umbrella now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
that team did an amazing job, and I don't think they should be told, well, I'm sorry that you're good at this, and this is what you're on the classical side of Disney. We don't do that kind of stuff here. You know, that's kind of where I see the issue.
Yeah, well, and Wreck-It Ralph too. Wreck-It Ralph, yes, is one of my favorite movies.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot that was Disney. Yeah, yeah,
it is. It's Disney, and it seems like a Pixar movie because it's so solid and good. But it is.
But it seems like a Pixar movie because it's that type of. And like I said, I think that's the line has started to blur there. And whereas you want to see more separation, I want to see the line blur the other way. I want to see Pixar start trying their hands at the classically animated stuff, and let's get Pixar doing some really cool classically animated stuff, and let's push each other along, because I really don't think it matters who does what. Like, there are still going to be the studios that are going to crank out the umpteenth Shrek revision. They're still going to be cranking out the umpteenth, you know, Madagascar penguins are doing whatever, as long as those things make money. And I'm not even saying that's a horrible idea, as long as you can still make your money back and make a profit on it.
Right.
Why not do that? That's clearly what Disney's doing when, you know, we crank out with Olaf's Frozen Adventure. That was,
sure,
that was made to keep Frozen relevant and to make some money for Disney. You know, so I don't think that competition is suddenly going to come from outside. So I don't really have a problem with competition within. Where I do, yeah, I am not a fan of this, again, from the aspect of I think we could have gotten a different and possibly better short out of this. And it is awkward once you reminded me that I was seeing a Disney animation short in front of a Pixar film. And, you know, on the other side of that, I don't really want to see, you know, the latest, like, Toy Story did that Halloween thing. You mm-hmm. remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to see that in front of a
Toy
Disney
Story
animation.
Toy Story of Terror is great.
But I don't want to see it in front of a Disney animation film as the short to precede it.
Yeah, no. Toy Story of Terror in front of Frozen 2 would be awful and weird. But that's the kind of, that's the tonal disconnect that I think Olaf's Frozen Adventure in front of Coco is making. And it's just, it's very strange. And I'd love to know what the decision-making process was like.
Yeah, and here's what I like. I like the fact that that this is not, you know, so many of these things feel like, you know, we're just in the Disney social media echo chamber, right? Like, we're hearing about this stuff, and it seems like everybody's talking about it. And meanwhile, the rest of the world isn't talking. And you know what? It's very possible that this is another case of this. But I do love the fact that so Josh Gad tweeted this video that he did with Lupita Nyong'o. I probably am just ruining her name, but anyway,
Lupita Nyong'o.
Sweet, I locked that down from Star Wars, right? Where he's trying to ask her, you know, will you give me any spoilers to the new Star Wars film?
Right,
and she's like, no, and he's like, well, spoilers aren't a big deal. I just did a 22-minute Frozen short that apparently spoiled Coco for single men and women in their mid to late 40s with blogs. Like, that is what he says during the, I love that this has become that big of a thing, and that, you know, that Josh Gad is willing to just play it off like that. And the sad part is that we have now spent this entire episode talking about, we didn't even get to talk about Coco, which was amazing. I still have thoughts on Coco.
We should talk about it. I have nothing to say.
You know what? Even if I get 5 minutes, 5 minutes will be enough to tell you guys about Coco. We're going to cover it because there's going to be follow-up next week, because we're going to have to follow up, because we had other things on the show notes. The show notes have other things. How did we end up spending our entire time talking about, Lost Frozen Adventure? Well, go watch on December 14th at 8 p.m. or whatever it is in your local time zone before prep and landing, and then you can form your own feelings about Olaf's Frozen Adventure. And you know what? We may even have follow-up from it, simply because Jeremy will have finally seen Olaf's Frozen Adventure and we'll be able to talk about it as well.
Yeah, maybe.
They did. Hey, this is a teaser. They did talk about Norway.
Oh, did they?
Oh, they did.
All right. I'll watch it. Boy, okay, well, that'll do it for our apparent movie review week of Missing the Mouse.
No. This isn't movie review. This is the preview. What is the thing that comes before the movie?
A trailer.
No? The thing,
a short.
There you go. This is our short review.
Ah, yeah.
Except
I guess
it ain't so.
So
short.
I guess, yes. This is our not short, short review. Anyway,
this review was longer than the short that you're right, going to watch.
It was. This is terrible. It's much longer. Gosh. you can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with brand new episode.
To talk about more than just shorts. Yay! Maybe.
Until then, have a magical day.